Back together again, Lee and Tubby, on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, wrapping up the preseason. Thanks for joining us out there to check out the final game of the preseason and get us ready for the regular season. On the podcast, where you catch us each and every week on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch. Also, all the podcast providers, as far as Amazon, Spotify, Apple Music, many others that you can check us out on. With me is Tubby, and I'm going to start this thing off by pretty much summing up the how I feel about the preseason. I'm glad it's done. I'm glad it's over. My enthusiasm level is very low. How do you feel about the three-game preseason so far?
What preseason, man? Did we even get to see anything? I'm right there with you, man. It was a pretty I don't think we learned too much over the preseason, man. I don't think we really took any risk during the preseason. I don't know if we're adopting the San Diego mantra, because you know their quarterback Herbert. He hasn't seen one preseason snap. Now he hasn't seen a postseason snap either, but he hasn't seen a preseason snap yet. So yeah, man, really underwhelming. I think what only N'Kobe Dean played yesterday. That's that you can at least highlight, man. But yeah, this was a bit of a nothing preseason, man. So yeah, man, I just hope that they had, you know, the scrimmages, kind of talking about like last week how, you know, maybe the scrimmages are going well or something like that. That's why the Eagles aren't putting a lot of effort into the preseason. Maybe they're just trying to stay healthy because they know what they have and they're very confident in what they have, man. But what did you get out of these three games?
Well, you know, outside of the first offensive and defensive possessions against the Jets, where we got to see our starters play for a little bit and actually got to enjoy that 80-yard drive by Jalen Hurts. Outside of that, not a lot. I mean, the Browns game, they won it, but it doesn't even matter. It is what it was. It was Minshew starting, no starters again. You know, we got to see a little bit of our backup running backs, and that's great, but it really didn't mean anything. And then this Dolphins game was probably the worst of the bunch, guys. So after the opening tally, I would have loved to have seen the starters more. I think I would have enjoyed it more to see them, because our backups are not very good. Let's be honest. They're not ready for prime time yet. And it showed on the field. They got manhandled. And Gannon's defensive scheme is garbage when you ain't got players that can execute it. He's shown that. He's shown that last season. So, yeah, I didn't get a lot of it. So, you know, like, so open things up. It's like I got this meme here. It's trying to be marked safe from Eagles preseason game overreactions, because by halftime, you know, they're down 17-0 to the Dolphins. And new things were bad as soon as, you know, they get the first play of the game deep to Tyreek Hill and, you know, against backups. I mean, they played their starters way too long, the Dolphins did. And good for them if they want to get their guys work against guys that, you know, aren't going to be out there in the regular season. But You knew it was what kind of game it was going to be. So I quickly lost interest. But what cracks me up is that there are a lot of people in, you know, Philly and in the media and just regular fans that are taking this way too seriously as far as what we saw. I mean, they're like, you know, already talking about firing people and benching people. I'm like, you don't even know what's going on, do you? You don't know. It's practice. And it means nothing. Yes, it would have been great to see our ones against their ones. I would have loved that. But we didn't get that, so we can't really judge what we saw. And I think that's a big problem, is you got people that, they do it every year. It's people that are uneducated about football. I'm not trying to say I'm a genius. I'm just saying, but I know the difference between a regular and a preseason game. And it to me, like I said, when we lose a preseason game like that, okay, we were 1-2 in the preseason. Guess what? Our record is 0-0. It's still 0-0. It's always been 0-0 until that game against the Lions. So yeah, it didn't show me much. I loved the opening start. I got really excited that first game, and then since then it's been like whatever. I'm killing time waiting for the Lions at week one. That's all I'm waiting for.
Yeah, man. I didn't really see much, man. I do know something has been real consistent when it comes to our offense, and that is, if we can't run the ball, we can't do anything. I think we had 16 rushing yards in that first half. I get it, preseason. I get all of that, but that is one thing that is pretty consistent that if, we just couldn't get the run going. And as you saw, that score 17-0, even though none of that means anything, but it still shows that even with a veteran quarterback in, executing without the run game is still hard. So Eagles still need to find that balance in the offense. Who do you think is, so we have four quarterbacks on the roster right now.
Right.
Who do you think are going to be the three that are going to make the roster this season?
Well, I mean,
you carry three normally, right?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, usually you hope that they do at least have one practice squad they can bring up. So we're obviously talking between two guys because we know Gardner Minshew is going to be,
of course,
he's going to be there. So it's Tanette or Carson Strong from Nevada. I haven't seen enough of Carson Strong to make that determination, and I don't know if the Eagles have. I would rather keep Carson Strong because Stinnett had that great pass against Cleveland, which was more than one of the highlights of the preseason to your kid from Oregon.
Devin Allen,
yeah. So that was amazing. But Stinnett could have thrown that. Minshew could have thrown. Anybody could have thrown that. He just threw it up to somebody who's sprinting down the field. So it's Stinnett. I don't see any upside with him based on the limited action that I've seen. So I'd rather take a flyer on Strong as a third guy because it really, I think if Jalen doesn't produce this year and they decide to move on from him, I don't think any of those guys are going to be our number one. I think we're going to go deep into the draft. So it's really about who do we have as far as depth in case Jalen goes down, which is a real possibility. I mean, you know, Jalen puts himself out there. So we could, you know, that could happen, and then we're going to need somebody that we can count on. I don't really have a lot of faith in Minshew, really. I know a lot of people are up on him. I think if Jalen goes down, we're probably done for the year. I don't think it'll be like that Nick Foles factor where we have somebody come in that can really carry the team. But that's kind of what I see. What do you think as far as the quarterback choices?
Yeah, man, same here. I think I would rather just carry Carson Strong mainly because we already paid him. Hopefully if we can get I think we should only carry probably two quarterbacks and just probably put Carson Strong on since we already paid him, probably just put him on the practice squad, maybe try to get something for Sinnett. But I'll tell you what, man, if Hurts go down, and you made a good point, we are in trouble because we don't have a prolific running back that can carry the backfield in case a quarterback goes out. So, you know, a lot of teams that are contenders, they still have that running back there that can take a little bit of the take a little bit of the load off, man, with those 20 carries plus games, you know, or 20, 25 touches per game, man. I'm not sure we really have that right now. Miles Sanders at least hasn't shown that for us. So we have some concerns at the quarterback position. We have concerns at the running back position as well, too. And just going right into the running backs, it's looking like it's going to be Miles Sanders, Bart Scott, and Kenneth Gainwell. But I think Huntley should make the squad. I know he had a little garbage time, 67-yard run in the third preseason game, but I mean, he is balled out. He has played a lot of snaps throughout the entire preseason. So I don't see why we wouldn't carry him as the third back. I would pick him over Gainwell, if I'm being honest. Gainwell is good, you know. But I think our line was just that great last year where it almost got to the point where you could stick anybody back there. Howard off the practice squad coming in, having a day. That just showed that we were the number one rushing team in the NFL last year for reasons because we could really push the line really well. So, yeah, man, everything else is kind of cookie cutter. Like with the offense, we know who the starters are going to be on the line. Most of the guys that was in that fourth quarter last night, they're going to be cut more than likely. Like Tom, the center, he had a few fumbles. That's a good fumble recovery, but all that guy, that's just all hot garbage at that point. I am concerned about Carson Strong because why would you pay a guy $300,000 guaranteed and give him four passes in the entire preseason? Why wouldn't you just run him into the ground? And there was almost no need to play Gardner Minshew as many snaps. It was really a battle between Sinnott and Strong. And we should have saw a clear battle between those two guys for that third spot, but it just felt like an afterthought. Carson Strong did, after so much noise they made about picking him up after the draft, like there was this really big steal, and he threw some bad balls, man. which probably carried over from camp, you know, which they can see. So my only concern is if what if Jalen goes down, where do we go? You know, Minshew is solid, but he's a dink and dunker, and he needs the help from the run game. If he doesn't get that, if teams just square up on Minshew, that's going to be a rough time. He's going to be out there. He's pretty small, which almost brings us to Sinnott or Strong, and that's really bad.
Yeah.
So we're like one play from being really bad. We're one from a Miles Sanders or a Jalen Hurts. I mean, wide receiver core, we're stacked. Mm-hmm. That's where we're really healthy at, the wide receiving core, man. So what do you think our holes are on the team
after this preseason? Well, you make an excellent point about both the quarterback and the running back position. I think the one thing that you peppered that with that made a lot of sense is the strength of the team as a whole, especially on offense, is our offensive line. I think we have a better offensive line this year than we did last year, even because we had the Brandon Brooks thing up in the air. I think Lane Johnson is back and healthier than ever. You know, Maialata has really come into his own. You know, Kelsey's not been playing a lot, but we got a guy back and him up. Dickerson's been amazing. So I think that the line, even if Minshew comes in, we can be a mediocre team. We may not be a playoff or a championship contender, but I think behind that line, even Minshew can find some success. Granted, I don't see our aspirations for winning a division with Minshew. I just don't see it. I'd love to be drinking the Kool-Aid to think that Gardner could take us if Jalen goes down. So if Jalen goes down, it's probably just going to be one of those things where we're going to win a few games and hopefully be enough to make the playoffs and then Jalen come back, you know, that kind of scenario. Otherwise, the running back position, again, goes back to the line. A lot of people give Miles Sanders problems for being injury prone, but it hasn't really been that injury prone. He's played a lot of snaps. He's been there. We haven't seen him produce like his Penn State teammate Saquon Barkley has produced when Saquon's been healthy. Saquon's been injured a lot. So that's why he's just not had the flash. Honestly, between the two backs in the backfield, you know, Scott is more consistent. So I'm glad we have somebody like Scott in there. I agree with you as far as Huntley as well. I think Huntley definitely deserves to be kept over. Gainwell hasn't showed us anything yet, and I don't know when he's going to. He can catch passes out of the backfield, but he's not the reincarnation of Austin Eckler. So that's a definite gap. Now, I know they're talking about potential trades. I think right now, Kareem Hunt should be something they should be looking at. If not him, D'Ernest Johnson, also from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Getting somebody, yeah, and so they're throwing people out there, and you know we've got a little bit of capital. You got draft picks, and you got Rager. You can put on, and Rager's had a decent enough preseason, better than his usually regular seasons, to be able to put him on the table and maybe get somebody interested in a former first round pick. I mean, so I think if you solve the running back issue, I think our offense is set. You know, we got what we've got. A lot of people would kill to have Gardner as a backup, so can't really slag it off. So if we fix the running back situation, or if Miles Sanders gets out there behind this amazing offensive line and can stay relatively healthy because he's not getting beat up like he had been, it could work out to their favor. It could. Defensively, there's holes as well. I mean, of course, the biggest one is the backup safety, where we're going to be relying on Epps back there, and it's not really a proven entity yet. We'll see how he does. My biggest thing is watching the threes and fours play and some of the twos is Gannon's scheme. You know, it doesn't impress me, that back and off stuff. I think the Eagles ones can handle that and play enough, but if he starts putting out, you know, like N'Kobe Dean or Kazir or these guys backing him up off the line, or Hassan Reddick, these powerful running or linebackers that can get penetration on our front seven, and we're playing this backup stuff because we're afraid of getting passes completed against us, this is going to be a waste of this defense. And I'm not saying he's going to do that, but watching the Miami game, he's doing that same old stuff again. And now, granted, I get it's preseason, so that's why I'm kind of trepidatious, and I don't want to over-exaggerate. I want to think maybe, okay, it's preseason, so this is not him. It's going to be his regular scheme. But you know how frustrating it was last year, and I said it after the Cleveland game. I'm like, he just does the same scheme all the time and expects it to work, and it never does. So I'm hoping that with the penetration that we get from our new guys on the line, getting Graham back, having Jordan Davis in there, I think that that'll be adequate enough for us to really do some great things on defense. I think that the biggest hole out of everything I've seen in the preseason is our depth. Past our ones, our depth is just shot. It's just 100%. On both sides of the ball. I mean, you got offensive line depth. We're okay. We have wealth in the offensive line, and I'm happy about that. But everywhere else, I mean, you even go to the receiver core. We're stacked at receiver with the four that we've got. But beyond that, you know, if something happens to Devontae Smith, we'll be okay. But if something happens to Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, we're done.
So, yeah, there were some guys that showed a few spots, like Deion Kane. I thought he had a good preseason. He definitely had a good rapport with Minshew. So I like Deion Kane, but nah, to your point, nah, man. The Eagles are just a well-balanced team. They have players on both sides of the ball that can do some work. A lot of our big names are on our offensive line, like you mentioned. I still believe they are running guys. I still believe that, man, just based off of how our offensive line is set up, you know, where your right tackle is your best run blocker and your left tackle is your best pass blocker. And I'm like, man, I feel like both of those guys are run blockers, you know, with Mailata. He's still growing day to day, man. He's getting a lot of reps. I see his nice, I know it was just practice, but him and Myles Garrett went at it. And, you know, he caught Myles Garrett off the line and he was still driving, but you can still tell he was in control. If Hurts is able to, you know, step up in the pocket, he was still creating a pocket. So I'm really excited about our line too, man. We know what we have there. And if guys go down, we got guys we can fill in. I did see that, speaking of linemen, that Dillard may be going to the Steelers. They were really interested in getting Andre Dillard. But we'll wait for that to happen, man. But, man, other than that, man, it's special teams. It was one of my biggest issues last year was special teams. Man, I'm not really sure. Like, I didn't really get to see. I mean, the Dolphins scored a lot of points, but I don't know if I've seen a lot of Covey out there running the ball back. I just don't know, man. Maybe Huntley can make the team on special teams. That could be another way because I know he was returning the ball as well too.
I would like to see Devin Allen get a shot returning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Punt returner. I like Devin Allen as a punt returner, man.
Yeah, definitely.
But either way, yeah, punt returner, kick returner. I mean, he's explosive. He's explosive. He has taken, 3 years off football? I know he's recovered from a serious injury. You know, he had that bad, I think it was like ACL injury or something like that. He's recovering from that. We know he has good straight line speed. We saw that in the Cleveland game where he just, you know, ran an incredible route and got on top of the receivers. Even though Tyreek Hill, you know, hit us for 51, I think if our ones was in, it was a sloppy pass. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't a clean.
Nope, it was underthrown.
Underthrown. He still had to, like, fall and tumble. But I'm like, if Marcus Epps is back there, he may pick that off because Epps is fast. If we were in the right coverage, that's the operative word. Yeah. If dealing with Gannon, if we're in the right coverage, that's an interception. So I wasn't really tripping off the Hill thing. I don't know. I was a little pessimistic about it. I was like, yeah, but if our ones was in, that was a bad ball. We probably could have picked that off. That wasn't that sensational. I know. Look, man, I know the media hype is crazy around Hill. Every time he touched the ball, he's so electric that everything he does is, you know, they want it to be a headline. But when watching the play, I was like, that ball is probably picked against our ones. And to your point, that shows you how bad our ones to our twos are. It is like night and day. It's almost like ones in practice squad. Because these guys, our twos look bad at times, man. But maybe it's Gannon.
Yeah.
Maybe our talent, I think it's a point you made before, maybe our talent can, like, overcome Gannon ineptitude in an offense. You know, maybe Gannon can maybe our Slay, you know, Bradbury, things you can't teach, like Jordan Davis, can just overcome a bad scheme, you know? Like, they're just out there, surgeons, just stitching up this really bad offense, a bad defense that's been put together by Gannon, man. Because I think, man, it's such a good point you made, man, because it's very glaring. Because if you're a good coach, you have a good scheme, you shouldn't be 41 to nothing type scheme, 41-3 type scheme. They looked helpless out there at times.
Yeah, you think if it was a good scheme that even your twos, threes, and fours would be able to keep the game close. Now, that being said, you know, it was 17-0 half, or 17-0 with their starters in, which was just ridiculous. So that, what does that say about the Miami starters? My son's a Dolphins fan, and no fault of my own, but there's worse teams he could root for. God forbid he root for the Cowboys. But so I like the Dolphins. I watch a lot about the Dolphins. I still don't believe in Tua is the real deal or the right fit for this team. And for them only to score 17 was kind of like, okay, you guys really didn't do that much. Now, granted, as the game went on, though, it looked worse and worse. And like you said, if we've got Slay out there and Bradbury and they're backed off 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, they're going to get beat. There's no way that you can let these guys do that or do that to them and tell them to do that. And if Gannon comes out in the first game against the Lions and is so afraid of Jared Goff that we now, granted, the last time we played the Lions, we talked about this last week, when we played the Lions, they didn't do that. They played very aggressive because they didn't respect Jared Goff. So let's take that out of the equation, but get into a game if we play somebody with that is a good quarterback and you give them too much respect. You know, let's say when we get to the Arizona game with Kyler Murray and you're so worried about him that we're playing that far off the ball, Kyler Murray will eat you up with his legs. He'll take your dink and dunk passes and we're going to end up struggling through the season, and I don't want to see that. But you're right about Tyreek Hill. The media made a lot of fuss about this deal where Darius Slay got hurt covering Tyreek Hill one-on-one. And what I loved about this was the response that A.J. Brown gave, because the media just went nuts over this play. And if you watch this play, the field wasn't that great. Slay actually stepped into like a divot, and that's what got him hurt. So I was kind of glad that Slay hasn't been back out there, because the last thing we need is our first-string quarterback out. But I did like A.J. Brown's rebuttal, which was like, all right, now show some video of us burning your guys's cornerback. You don't want to show that. You don't want to, right. You know, and that's lost footage. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, they cancel the rest of the practices and everything, because now, you know, the Eagles got a chip on their shoulder. They're ready to prove something. So right. That could have been one of the reasons that the starters didn't play against Miami, that the Eagles said, okay, and it could have been that bad blood from that whole incident. And I would believe that, where Sirianni's like, all right, so we have a set amount of practices, and you do that, and you pump up all this stuff about Hill burning Slay, and you get that out there, and then you don't show up for the last day of practice, but you can make the game. Your starters can play in the game,
right?
But they couldn't make that last the group practice because they had bowel issues or some craziness. They got stomach bug. It just reeks of just kind of a dubious type of situation where I think Sirianni's like, we're not going to trot our starters out there to get hurt and let them cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one or do anything like that to get them in a bad position. So he just let the twos have a chance at making names for themselves and see what happens. But it does bring one big serious question, and I want to ask you about this, how you feel about it. Because the starters played essentially one series, you know, in the Jets game on offense and defense, what does that say for our preparation going into the season? Do you think that it's a benefit from an injury standpoint because we've had so many injuries over the years under Peterson, or do you think it's a benefit, or do you think it is detrimental going into Detroit, having some rust on them, not being able to have any game action? What do you think?
Man, I think I just keep going back to the scrimmages. Well, all things considered, A.J. Brown is probably the only new piece that needed to fit into this system. Most of our offense are returning guys, just giving Sirianni the benefit of the doubt, right? You know, just just trying to think, like, maybe, like, put a coach's hat on. Okay, I got the same team, same line, same quarterback, same running backs. Really, it's just this A.J. Brown guy I have to fit in here. He's a big, big part of the offense. So, Pascal, he's going to get in where he fits in. He's always kind of been the journeyman, so I expect him to be a guy that comes in and definitely tries to learn immediately. So, not worrying about him. Having Rager, Quez, and Devontae Smith in the offense, you know, maybe that's where Sirianni's confidence comes from to not play these guys, because he's like, look, I've seen him last year. I've seen him in camp. Based off of, you know, being a second year with these guys, I kind of know where they're at. I kind of know what they're good at. So I'm going to hold them back. But then why do you have a 45-year-old Tom Brady out there with the resume that he has, which makes things so confusing, man? I seen Brady take his snaps. I'm like, man, he's 45 and taking snaps. I know he missed 11 or 12 days or what have you, but believe me, greatness doesn't take days off, even when they're off, you know, because it's an addiction. Most people that you know that are great or GOATs, they have an addiction to the game. The Jordans, the Bradys, the Gretzkys, these guys are different. They're different. So no matter if Brady took those 11 days off, he's such a competitor. He's still not going to give his competitors an edge. He's going to continue to train and work hard and still do what he needs to do for his teammates. And I just hope that the Eagles maybe feel that way about their team right now, man, because it makes no sense for our offense to take so little reps in the preseason when we're really still trying to build. We're talking about a team that took 7-8 games into the season to find their identity, where the crowd was booing and telling you to run the ball for the first, you know, where we coming off and we look and see our first six, seven games of the season, our running backs are coming off with 10 combined carries, maybe five or six here, and Jalen Hurts has the most carries. It took the Eagles 9-10 games to even get an identity. Remember halfway through the season, I'm like, look, guys, this is a running team. It wasn't popular then, but it took off once we started running the ball, because you can see this line wasn't really built to pass right now. Now coming in, knowing the system, you keep adding things to a system. I just hope, man, I just hope we can bring it, man. The defense, our number ones on defense look good. We have a lot of veteran guys on our defense. One guy that does concern me a little bit is Devion Taylor. I don't think he had a good camp or preseason. Every time I saw him, he was just shitting the bed a little bit, man. It was just kind of, just wasn't really doing that well. So I don't know, man. I think we should have had way more reps from our ones on our offense. I just hope Sirianni knows his guys and knows that maybe you got 2 weeks off to work a little more, and we have Detroit week one, which they're no sleepers, man. They got some young guns on Detroit.
Yeah, they do.
Young guns on Detroit, man. So we need to be worried about them, man.
Yeah, I think it's something we can't take lightly. To me, it's rough because if I think that practice is great, and if you see the best out of your team during practice, it's still not game time. It's still not real, actual against one-on-ones against the team's best. And granted, it's preseason, so not everybody may be playing 100%, but you watch a lot of preseason, like you said about Brady. Those guys are out there to compete, even though they may not care about the final score. They're going out there to move the ball and to prove that they can do it. And then defense, same thing. They're out there to prove themselves. Even if they're the ones, they're out there to show the other team that they're ready. So the Jets game, if they played one series each, I'm fine with that. But the Cleveland game, they should have at least had their starters in for a quarter. And my opinion is the Dolphins game, they should have been in for a half, like the Dolphins starters were. So I don't, like, say it's hard for me if you only got three preseason games, and there are games, they're game situations. So that hurts your team's preparation to be out there prior to the start of an actual game. And you could say, okay, it's about keeping them from getting injured. But the problem with that is if they're not in actual real game situations and you get them into a real game, are they physically ready to play in an actual NFL game and for 60 minutes and be able to not get injured that way? We don't know. I mean, so you're preserving them, and I get it. You don't want anybody hurt. And you've given a lot of practice reps, but it's like, wow, is that really beneficial to them? And I it worries me that we haven't seen them get into game shape. And if we're just out there to throw some guys out there and see if they make the team, great. But it also should be a benefit for the starters to get some sort of feel for the game. And I think that hurts the team as a whole. Now, we'll see what happens against Detroit. If they come out rusty, I fully expect them to. But, after the Detroit week one, it doesn't matter anymore. Because now that's a real game. We know the starters are going to play. So if they lose that game, then maybe you and I come back on here and go, see, they should have played a little bit more in the preseason, you know. But it's nothing left to be said. We got 2 weeks now from today where we'll find that out as far as the Eagles go. So all in all, like I said, as far as guys that I hope made the team, the only guy that really impressed me that I really, really would like to see make the team is Joby. But he's dealing with the injury now. I thought he played really well in the defensive backfield, enough to where I'd like to see him get a shot in as far as like a backup corner, backup slot corner, something like that. But other than that, I'm happy with what we have on both sides of the ball. Like I said, just need a little bit more depth and better depth. But like you said, the depth may not be the issue. It may be the defensive coordinator. So who knows? We'll see when the cuts come very soon. We'll probably do a quick update when that happens as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's shift gears into, again, one of my favorite segments and just talk a little bit about the lighter side of the Philadelphia Eagles football with this week's
Hell to the No, to the No, 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 No. Hell, No, No, to the No, No. Hell to the No, No. To the No, 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 No. No, no. To the No, No.
I don't know if you saw this. This is horrible, man. This is horrible. I don't know if you saw this. This is ridiculous. So for the people that just listened to the podcast and can't see it, this will be our screenshot for the cover of this episode. But Madden this year, the new Madden, which you told me that you had gotten the new one, you're playing it now and enjoying it. This came out where the mod that they did for Brandon Graham on the game is horrendous. It looks like Refrigerator Perry out there. He's got this big old beer gut. Brandon Graham has never looked like that. And when you see the side comparisons, so the tweet came out and Brandon Graham was like, man, I must have made somebody mad. Why would you do him like this? It is ridiculous. What do you think about this thing? It's crazy.
Yeah, man, it is ridiculous, man. That's EA for you, huh? Nah, that's funny, man. They definitely got the wrong setup there. Graham, man. And these players pay attention to Madden, too. They pay attention to their likeness. Even Jordan Davis looks weird on there. They didn't really get him quite because he's probably such a unique person. Maybe
that's
next
true.
Year.
Yeah,
if he does well this year, they'll get him right next year. Yeah. Because he was probably just a random draft. They're probably just loading content. But once you can actually get him in game and actually see how good he is. But nah, this is hilarious, man. But that's Madden for you. That definitely does not remind you of Brandon Graham.
Graham is the guy that strip sacked Brady in the Super Bowl. You should know what he looks like. He's been around. It's very disrespectful to a guy, and he's coming back. One of my favorite players on the Eagles, and for them to do him this way is crazy. You're right. They do pay attention, especially for the ratings and everything like that. I will guarantee you that if we go down the line and look at all the Cowboys players, those suckers probably look like their real life images. I'm gonna put that out there. If somebody wants to prove me wrong, they're more than welcome to do that. But I bet you that they don't look messed up or jacked up like a lot of these other guys.
I did my boy Graham dirty there.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so we have we have a good week coming up, even though there's no Eagles football. In the fact that on Saturday night we are going to hold our fantasy draft. It's your league. Not my league, my fantasy draft, but it's ours.
It's our league.
It's our league together. Right, exactly.
It's our league. You can have a league by yourself.
So. You could. You win every year. And no punishments. You always get the trophy. But we got that coming up. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And we decided that this year we're going to have some fun. And we're actually going to live stream that sucker here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. So since we've got a week without any Eagles football to talk about, except for the cuts, that's going to be our next broadcast. Next Saturday night, we're going to start 6:30, like a half hour before the the actual draft starts so that we can get our act together, maybe do a pre-draft talk about what we're looking for. We may even be able to get some of the other guys in to talk about their draft as well, set up some of the other members of our fantasy league. So if you love fantasy football and you just want to actually have a good time, because we're going to have a lot of laughs, we're going to have a few drinks, it's going to be totally non-serious. It's just, well, some people may take it more serious than others. So I'm drafting third and you're drafting ninth, correct?
Ninth, correct.
So that's going to be... Bummer. Yeah,
for you.
it kind of is because I'm stuck in it. If I'm going to draft early on, I'd rather be one or two, so I can guarantee, or one, so I can guarantee Taylor. Drafting three, it's like I'm still. We talked about it last week. I'm still in that no man's land between the, you know, do I take Eckler or do I take Derrick Henry? And I still don't know the answer to that yet. It's going to be a game time decision as far as who I go with. But anyway. It is going to be a lot of fun, and you should tune in to the live stream if you just want to if your own draft is going and you love fantasy football and you just want to see a live draft and have fun with us. We'll have people commenting and giving advice on what picks we should make. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So you should check that out, and then we'll definitely put that on the podcast for all the people and the listeners on Spotify and Amazon Music and so forth. So,
oh, yeah,
come ready on. For that.
It should be fun, man. It should be fun. Our sixth season in our league.
Yeah.
It's called the Big Ballers League. It started as a joke and it just kind of stuck. We don't really have a name for it, but we just got 10 guys that love coming together, man, every year for our league, man. It's the dopest league around, man. It's a good payout for first, second, and third, and we do weekly. High score payouts as well too, so you could be having the worst season and still win money every week. Right? You know, you have the possibility to win money every single week in reality. In this league, man, it's a good league, man.
That's all I've ever won is the weekly award. I've never won the league outright, so and usually I draft from the back, so maybe a change of location, maybe I'll have a good draft. We'll see. I'm going to toss a coin on that Eckler Derrick Henry thing. So I've been watching a lot of Matthew Berry and all these other guys trying to, you know, decide, make my decision. Because I know one of them is going to be available. Now, if one of our guys drops the ball and doesn't take Jonathan Taylor or McCaffrey, then that my decision's made for me. But that, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So we'll find out next Saturday at 6:30 right here on either YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. We're going to do the live stream. One last thing I wanted to share before we go on this edition of the Where Eagles Dare podcast is I've been finding these old tweets and Facebook posts of mine about the Eagles, because if you know me for any length of time, you know how much I love the Eagles, and always that's all I ever talk about for most people. But so yeah, this one was 10 years ago, August 25th, 2012. I wrote on Facebook, yeah, I know it's the preseason, but I am loving Nick Foles right now. Have since they used the draft pick on him. I feel a lot better if Vic goes down, and he will now, because Vic was having a hard time staying healthy and staying on the field, and we needed a good backup. And I still looked at Vic as our starter, but I felt watching Foles in the preseason, see, that was an August post, watching Foles in the preseason, I knew that, you know, that there was something there with this guy, that it was a good pick. You know, it's a shame that he didn't become a long-term starter or start a dynasty. The potential was there. I think he just got, if you read the book, his book, Nick Foles' book, you realize he got done dirty by Chip Kelly. I mean, he had all those big games for Chip. Chip's scheme was trash, and Chip was trying to find any way to make that work. So, you know, he trades him away, and it to the Rams, and it just didn't work out. And so it's affected. Yeah, Sam Bradford, and it did absolutely nothing for us. So, yeah, so it was kind of funny to see that something from 2012, knowing that now, looking back, that Nick led us to the one and only Super Bowl in history. Hopefully there's more. But I thought that was a lot of fun to see that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's dope. That's dope, man.
Well, with that being said, it's time to get out of here on another edition of Where Eagles Podcast. Quick one, because it is preseason. Preseason for us, but next Saturday we're going to have a lot of fun. Then after that, it's our regular season too. So we'll try to be a lot more professional with this podcast. I think we're doing all right. But it is what it is. We're having a lot of fun. So if you like us, make sure that you continue to follow and subscribe, whether that be on YouTube, whether that be on Facebook or Twitch. You can find us on any of those platforms. And again, the podcast providers we have are Spotify Music, Amazon Music, Podcaster, Castro, so many others. All you got to do is go to your favorite and look us up. And if you don't see us, shoot us an email and let us know. Our email address is lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, .eaglesdare@gmail.com. You can send us an email about anything. If you're not on your favorite podcast provider, or if you just want to comment on the last week's podcast, you want to tell us that we stink, perfectly fine with us. We'd be more than happy to read your email on the air and discuss whatever you'd like to. So I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his parting words of the week.
Nah, man, it's been real as always. Come back and see us for that fantasy football draft on September 3rd, 6:30 Eastern PM. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Have a good week, everybody. All right, very good. Let me go ahead and stop the recording.